Radio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
I'm Sanjay Morella.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP.
The greatest man that ever lived always liked a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
You see them now, John. Can't you hear them singing? Can't you hear them singing with me? Brothers and sisters, he's got the whole earth in his hand. He's got the whole island in his hand.
Covering all the latest in the WWE.
Oh, did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
And TNA.
A lot of people around here, well, they consider us a bad influence. And you know what? We're good with that.
Well, not bad meaning bad, but bad meaning good. An influence, as in we are the straws that stir the drink. We're in the position where the ladies want to see us and the fellas want to be us. They want what we have. They want to be where we are. And they're green with envy, just like my drink of choice with your host.
Sing with me, children.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocker.
Thank goodness for my believers. They have truly been the wind beneath my wings.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, bling, bling, cha-cha-chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling, patting pockets. You take the dollar, dollar, can it damn so stop it?
Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on, your bets, here's where the buck stops. See, first of all, I'm stepping out on my own.
And welcome to the Rock Fight here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesday. That's right, go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all their figure reviews and stop motion animation and just, you know, general awesomeness. I'm, of course, the host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is, I have no witty intros, so Mr. WWE app himself, Sir Rockin.
Why am I WWE app? I was on the network.
Whatever.
You're Miss WWE app. Remember this.
Well, I was watching it on the WWE app, so for me it was Mr. WWE app, because that's how I watch the network, so.
Gotcha. Hi, everybody. We're here to talk stuffs, because it's a wrestling night, and it's a Thursday night, and the draft happened, and we're going to talk about that, too.
Stuffs happened, and I miss Shane McMahon. Just random. It's like you come in with Shane's theme. It's like, oh, Shane.
I miss Shane. I was sitting here, like, you know, 40 minutes ago trying to figure out, hey, what kind of music should we play? And I remember all that yesterday on Tumblr was Shane. So, Shane.
I miss Shane. He was so amazing. Shane, I wish he'd come back.
Shane O'Mac was money.
He was. He really, really was. I was so sad when he left.
Yeah.
Come back to us, Shane. We love you.
Indeed.
But, well, since he'll never hear that plea because he doesn't listen to the show, we're just going to get right into it because, well, we have stuff we have to talk about. Like the man said, you know, the NFL draft is talking about or happened tonight, so we're going to talk all about that. We've got wrestling news. We've got Extreme Rules. We've got Impact. We've got NXT. We've got a lot, but before we get to all that, we've got our question of the night.
Which is, if you were building your own wrestling company, and you could only bring in one team to build around with you, who would you build around? The Shield or the Wyatt family?
Ooh, that's a tough choice. We're going to have to think about that.
Yeah, it is a tough choice, and we got some interesting answers, and we'll get to them as we go through the evening later in the show.
Yes, but now we're going to jump right into the news brought to you, of course, by our friends over at pwmania.com. Go there for all your news needs. And, well, it's kind of a thin news week this week. Not going to lie, it was a little hard to pick up stories. But, well, some stuff did come out, and we've kind of got to go to just the big story. And I have to acknowledge it again, even though I don't want to. And that's that Shawn Michaels gave a very insightful interview on the Jim Ross podcast. If you haven't listened to it yet, go check it out. Stop it! He didn't like it. He thought it was boring. But anyway, Shawn Michaels gave an insightful interview on the Jim Ross podcast, including talking about the streak and when it was actually decided that the streak was going to break. And Shawn Michaels revealed that the decision was made 4 hours, not days, hours before WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I don't know how I feel about this.
It's one of those things. I'm trying to look for the exact quote right now as we're talking. It's one of those things where you thought they would put more thought and time, and you would think it was the entire plan the entire time. As we've talked about, we thought it could have been, but it wasn't. Shawn Michaels revealed that at the end of the day, it came down to the decision of one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He goes, everybody was stunned. You know as well as I do that one person only alone makes that call. And as much as everyone wants to think other people say so in it, they don't. I was stunned like a lot of people. I was there when it all happened. I know what happened. I make the calls around, this now he's referring to what he does at his home, Deshaun. I make the calls around here in my house. That's the way things go. I am sure in Vince's mind, he's got a reason. And I don't think it was injury. It's hard. Did Vince do it for shock value? Or did Vince do it because he knows Taker couldn't go?
Well, one of the rumors was that Vince did make the decision for shock value, that they wanted to have it be more memorable than just Daniel Bryan finally winning the title, and so they went with breaking the streak as that really big memorable Mania moment, so that could be it. But, you know, it could have also been Taker's health. They do acknowledge Taker's extremely banged up. I think one podcast, was it this one? Or was another one that listed all his injuries and how many he's got, which are pretty substantial and pretty bad.
He has shoulder injuries, hip injuries. He's banged up like no one's business.
Yeah, he's given a lot to the business, and at this point his body is just, it's worn down, and that's becoming more apparent every time he gets in the ring, because you know, every year we see him get a little bit slower and just a little bit less Taker-like, and I think this year was the year that they finally saw that.
Yeah, Ross listed all Taker's injuries and hurt body parts. Michaels agreed that all of Taker's health concerns are there, but Michael says, ultimately, ultimately, it has no bearing on the outcome of the match. He added, that's just a decision that's made. One person makes it, and everyone has to abide by it. The reasons for that, I don't know. Yeah, you know, I don't know. You don't know. I'm sure he does. Like Mark and said a number of times, I've got the worst record with that man. And just by listening to it, because I did listen to it, and, you know, I made the comment, you know, the comment in the background as she was talking, Shawn knows more than he's letting on, is basically the best way to put it.
Oh, I'm sure Shawn was there when the decision was made, because he was in Gorilla all night.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Shawn was there when the decision was made. And, you know, but this leads to the question of, you know, there were rumors. Well, who knew? Because obviously nobody really knew that the streak was breaking, because everybody was just stunned, from the ref to the announcers to Paul Heyman to everybody in the back. Like, apparently nobody really knew. And, well, if this, you know, if it was made 4 hours in advance, that makes sense. That's why nobody knew. Because I asked you when you told me, it's like, I wonder if Paul Heyman even knew.
I don't think he did. I think I remember reading he said he didn't know, but, you know,
he had a hunch.
Heyman's a liar as well. You never know.
You know, he sold it either way, but yeah, it's just you go back to Heyman's reaction, and it's something of just shock and stun, you know, and just holy crap, we actually did it kind of thing.
And thinking about it, and you know, Taker likes to practice his matches. Did he ever practice losing?
I don't think they did. If it was made that late on WrestleMania Day, I don't know if they ever practiced losing.
So it's one of those things like, okay then, they went by the seat of their pants and they went out there and Taker just lost, and it's still one of those shocking things. You get over the shock value and you understand why the decision was made and how the decision was made. It still shocks you because it still, you look at the Undertaker legacy and you go, kind of hurts a little bit. Not much, but right now it leaves a sour taste in people's mouth.
Yeah, it's something of it. Like I said, I don't know how I feel about it, because it's like you'd like to know what went into that decision beyond if they just broke it for shock value. Honestly, as a fan, and I know people are going to take this the wrong way, I'm a little offended that they just kind of threw it away like that.
Now, on the other side, the whole idea, it was made 4 hours beforehand, means it was finally decided 4 hours beforehand. So they could have been debating it for a long time, which way to go, and back and forth, and then they finally went on this decision. And then in the 11th hour, decide, okay, we're going to pull it, we're going to do this, Taker's going to lay down for Brock Lesnar. It's tough. I'm not gonna lie. It's tough, but you understand it, but doesn't mean you agree.
Yeah, you heard Sean, if you listen to the podcast, you hear Sean say that the streak shouldn't have broken, and I'm in agreement with that. You're hearing a lot of people say that the streak should not have been broken.
Chris Jericho was on the record saying he loved how it went down.
And that's his opinion. That's great. I mean, you could tell that, obviously, if you go back and you watch it, which I haven't done, but this is solely based on memory, that I don't think Taker was really ready for it.
No.
Because you kind of see his reaction, and it's like, oh, crap.
We just did this. We went through with it, and it happened.
And yeah, so Sean knows more than Sean is letting on, and the big thing is if Austin can get Taker on his podcast, and if he can get Taker to talk about it, because that's going to be where we get it straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and Sean said Taker will call him in a few weeks, right after, you know, after he, you know, realizes what kind of bust just hit him.
Yeah, Taker was not feeling very well when he and Sean spoke. Obviously, you know, he's still suffering from the concussion. He's going to find the bus driver and sue him. So, that would be Paul Heyman.
No, that would be Brock Lesnar, because, you know, he's the one who actually hit him.
Yeah, so, hopefully Taker's feeling better, and that's probably what kind of the delay is just to make sure he's feeling up to snuff and 100%. And if he's still going to do it, because you never know. He may not.
He said, in the future, The Undertaker will be on the podcast. The future could be a month to 10 years from now. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, it's like Taker just agreed to do it. When he does it, if he does it, we have no idea. But yeah, that's going to be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, will be. So, yeah. There you go. 4 hours. It's still shocking.
Oh, it's still completely shocking, but yeah, 4 hours, it's like, again, I don't know how I feel about that, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's just, it's like, no, Just, no.
No.
No. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's kind of insulting, but you don't know the reasons, so you kind of back off of it a little bit, and you try to hold down that insult, because it's like, well, they could have, you know, done it for Taker's health, Taker could have, you know, said, I'm done, Vince could have said, Taker, you're done. You know, there's any number of reasons of why they actually did it, and we, you know, as right now, we don't know, and we're probably never going to know the full story.
One day, when we're old and gray.
One day, when Taker finally decides to write a book or give an actual interview, we'll find out.
Pretty much.
And it'll probably be on the WWE Network.
Which is awesome still, by the way. So, yeah, but again, buy the WWE Network. It's awesome. It's,
yes.
You know, it's better than Netflix. Anyway.
Anyway. Moving on.
Did you know Shawn Michaels has a new tag team partner?
Does he?
Yeah, apparently Shawn Michaels has a new tag team partner, and it's Can-Am or something?
Can-Am Spider, three-wheel vehicles to be exact.
Oh, if you have not seen the YouTube video that Shawn Michaels put out, the Can-Am Spider team put out, oh, it is, without question, one of the funniest things ever.
Oh, it's adorable. Shawn Michaels in this thing. It's like Shawn Michaels is just having fun. You can tell. He's having a good time with this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, it's Shawn Michaels. He's out there having fun. Like, Shawn Michaels can have fun. You know what? Screw it. I think we're going to play it. We're going to play it for the people.
Yeah, play it for the people.
There you go. Here's the Somewhere Deep in the Woods. It's the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I don't know how they do it, but it gets better every time I read it. Unbelievable.
Hey, Shawn Michaels. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, is it true you're considering a comeback? Have you just been sitting around reading books all day?
First of all, don't judge me.
Reading is good for you. I happen to be a very, very deep reader.
Oh, butterflies.
Shawn Michaels, will we be meeting your new tag team partner today?
Oh, we're going to meet him. We're going to meet him, but I want to make one thing perfectly clear. I don't get along with anybody. Everybody knows that. But somehow, I think we're going to meet. You know, one of the things about guys like you, you're constantly dwelling on the past. I got news for you. Our future is bright. And guess what? I was born ready!
Hey, Shawn Michaels, are you ready?
That's a good word. In my domain, it is I, Shawn Michaels, who is ready. Got it?
Okay. I just have a few more deliveries.
If he's going to be my tag team partner, I want to see his face. Together, you and I are going to be a showstopper.
Sean, is this your new tag team partner? Did everything work out? Does this mean you're coming back?
First of all, let me tell you something. My life has never been more adventurous. This is my best tag team partner ever. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you.
ride it.
You can go to canamspider.com. Spiders, S-P-Y-D-E-R. So canamspider.com or youtube.com/user/canamspiderteam to watch the full video.
That was just too cute. I'm sorry. I love Sean.
Sean's awesome. That's
Sean is awesome.
It's the best way to put it. And him, you know, doing all his DX shtick. Oh, and
he's working out on it.
Right?
He worked out on it. It's like he's doing push-ups on the thing. It's like, that's just not even fair.
He's Shawn Michaels. He can do whatever he wants.
Apparently.
It was awesome. So, yeah, go check it out and buy one, apparently.
Because they're awesome. But speaking of awesome...
Mm-hmm.
Got a little bit more WWE news, and that is that it came out, as far as at least the merchandise numbers online, that Warrior outsold everyone, which is, of course, no surprise, including John Cena.
Yeah. Everyone on the interwebs decided to buy some Warrior merch because, well, you know, put out a bunch, and his unfortunate passing led to a lot of people buying Warrior merch over the last month. But that's not all they were buying, were they?
No, no. What's interesting is the top 10 got announced, and, well, John Cena is, of course, at the top of the list. CM Punk is also on the list, too. But I'm a proud mama. I have to brag. Because the babies, that's right, the Wyatts, have broken the top 10 in merchandise sales. Yay!
She was very excited about this story that when it came out, that the Wyatt family are actually in the top 10 of merch sales, which is pretty cool, considering how short of time they've been in WWE.
And I'm sure that has something to do with the fact that they just literally had a shirt come out, but that's good.
I would assume that shirt doesn't even count yet.
I don't know, it's hard to say, but that's good news for them that they're doing well in at least merchandise sales. That always plays a factor in whether you get a push or not.
In some way, it doesn't hurt. Let's just put it that way. It doesn't hurt if you're actually selling some merch. The latest bestsellers at the arenas have been Cena, Bryan, Orton, Warrior, RVD, Lesnar, Wyatt, Batista, and Sin Cara.
Interesting.
Let's see. Yeah, in internet merchandise, it's Warrior, Cena, Punk, Bryan, Wyatt, Shield, Evolution, and Hulk Hogan. While John Cena is so far above everyone else, no one's even close except for Warrior on the internet. So there you go.
There you go. So congratulations to them, and congratulations to everybody else as well.
Yeah, everyone who boos Batista, well, his merch sells.
It does sell, that's the thing, and you can't argue with merchandise sales. You really can't.
No, you can't.
And, well, that's it for WWE news, and this is kind of an awkward transition. Now we're going to kind of move into TNA, talk a little bit about TNA, because we do have some news. They announced that their next UK tour is going to take place in January of 2015. They've released the following dates and locations: January 29th in Glasgow, Scotland at the Hydro, January 30th in Manchester at the Phones 4U Arena, and the 31st of January in Merry Old London at Wembley Arena.
The London date is a double TV Impact taping, which will include an Ultimate X match, which they hyped up at the last tour overseas, that they would be bringing Ultimate X overseas. Going on tour will be Bully Ray, Samoa Joe, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Mr. Anderson, Eric Young, Gail Kim, Gunner, Abyss, EC3, Tigre Uno, and, of course, our favorite rock star, Spud.
You can't not go over and not take Rockstar's butt, just saying.
Just saying. And one name not on the list is Kurt Angle, Lindsay. And this is where, as I mentioned in the pre-show, we have breaking news regarding Kurt Angle.
Yes. I'll let you go ahead and spill it.
This is courtesy of Wrestling News World. I'll read it as it was found. Kurt Angle contacted me on Thursday to inform me that he will be undergoing surgery on Friday to repair his anterior cruciate ligament, a.k.a. the ACL. The surgery is expected to keep him out of the ring 4.5 months. Here's the statement from Kurt Angle. I was limited in the ring, and I don't want to be anymore. I injured it 5 years ago, held up until now. I love going 150%. Now what makes this interesting is Kurt's deal is coming up.
It is.
Is this the end of Kurt? Have we seen the last of Kurt Angle in TNA?
Well, he very well could. He's one of the last big money guys that they have in the company. And, you know, he was talking about possibly going back to WWE for one more run before he fully retires.
He's been with TNA since 2006. He hopped over in September of 2006, making his debut, I believe, right at Bound for Glory. He appeared a month earlier in a promo package at an event. You know, it's real, it's damn real. He's coming to TNA. I think he's done with TNA. It's not the right way to go out, but it's the way what happened tonight. But it's like, which we'll get into in a little bit. I don't know.
You know, honestly, I love Kurt, and I think he's been a wonderful contribution to TNA. He's done a lot for them. But, I mean, as far as Kurt is concerned, there's really not much else for him to do. He's a lot like Sting was and Hogan was, where they've done all they can really do for TNA, and now they're just a featured performer for the company. They're a big name that the company can use, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but it's something of... There's no fresh feuds for him. There's nothing that he hasn't done.
Oh, I agree. I agree with you completely, 100%, that it's done. You would like to see him go out on top, and hopefully we've not seen... It's more not his ending with TNA, it's more of his career. You'd rather see him go out on top than injured, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure this isn't the end of Kurt Angle. I'm sure he will either... He will stay with TNA, or he'll go back to WWE or whatever. I mean, it's just, they've got to decide, he's got to make that decision, and only he can make it. So we'll have to see, you know, where he goes from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing.
So, it'll be interesting to see, and, you know, Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling is out there.
It is, so, well, Angle may go there.
So keep an eye out on Kurt Angle.
Yeah, keep an eye out on Kurt Angle, but best of luck to him. Hope he gets to feeling better.
Yes.
You know, wish him all the best in his future, whatever he decides, whether it's TNA, WWE, Global Force Wrestling, or just to retire. Best of luck to him.
Best of luck, and Kurt's a fighter, and he will always, always fight.
Absolutely. And... Lastly, at least for TNA, and then we're going to kind of jump into the NFL draft, because round one is wrapping up in the NFL draft. Christopher Daniels, it was announced that he had departed from TNA, gave an interview this week, and, well, he had some really interesting things to say, especially regarding his departure. And one of the things that was interesting was TNA opted just not to renew his contract. They never even made him an offer.
No, they really didn't. He sort of, you know, he heard the internet buzz back in January, like we were talking about before, you know, how he possibly could done, et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't believe any of it, and then he was contacted. He went to his last booked appearance was at a one-night-only taping back in April, and that's when they told him what the deal was, that they weren't going to resign him. And it's like, the door's open, but... because they might want to do stuff like the one night only with him, but they just didn't see him as a regular on their television anymore. Which is a shame.
It is a shame. Because he's... Especially with them starting to flip the roster and bring in a lot of younger talent and newer talent, he's a good hand to have in the ring, and he's a good persona to have on your television, because he's extremely entertaining. I enjoy the hell out of Christopher Daniels, and I'm really sad that he's gone.
We
felt so bad for Frankie tonight. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but Christopher Daniels is one of the keystones of that company. He's been there pretty much from the inception, which that's not an automatic reason that he should stay, but he's done a lot for them.
And it's not like he hasn't left the company in the past. He's been fired by them in the past.
But he's always come back.
And what's always interesting is we talked to him back in early March, and he was all gung-ho about the future in TNA, the future of Bad Influence. He didn't know what they were doing in lockdown, but he was highly, highly praising TNA and highly excited for the Wolves.
Oh, he was.
And he's mentioned that in interviews, too, with us and just recently, where that's where he thought the direction would go, because he was high on bringing them in, and he thought there was money in a Wolves Bad Influence feud, and it just sort of wasn't in the cards by the TNA creative.
Ooh, and Seattle traded. Interesting.
That's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise, but it's interesting. Anyway, he was all gung-ho. He was excited. He was praising TNA as much as he could. He was trying to do as much press as he could for them. Same for Frankie Kazarian. Pretty much, Frankie and Austin and Chris were trying to do all they can, to talk up TNA and make it sound good and sound excited for it. And it's just, it's really kind of a shame, at least in my eyes, that they opted not to resign him. But I can also see their perspective on it. It was probably somewhat a cost-saving measure, because I think they have to bring him in from the West Coast.
Yeah, but I don't think money was involved. They've just run out of ideas. The whoever's in charge, and now thinking about who's rumored to be involved with the company, makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I know it does. I agree with that 100%.
That guy, not a fan of Daniels.
No, he's not. Christopher Daniels, he could land in ROH, he could go back to Japan, he could sign up with Global Force Wrestling. There's a number of places he could go.
He could.
And he's not in the lurch.
No, and you can see him next at Hardcore House of Hardcore from Tommy Dreamer in June. He'll be wrestling for him.
Good. Glad to see Daniels is landing on his feet, but yeah, it's definitely an interesting interview to listen to if you haven't, because he also talks about a couple other things, including, I believe, the backstage atmosphere and that kind of thing, which a couple people have spoken about, and they've said that morale overall in the company is very low.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are feeling the good vibes right now, and there is actually a lot of concern right now in the company regarding TNA's future.
Right. You can go to TNAsylum.com. They have the full recap of the interview on their website right now.
They do. The haven for TNA fans. And, well, we're stalling because the last pick of the first round is in. We're waiting to see who Minnesota has gone with, but before, they make that announcement, because, Roger Goodell is going to take his good sweet time to get out on the stage.
Let's get into the full draft.
Let's get into the full draft, because this first round's been interesting.
Oh... all the time, all week long, everyone's, who's going number one? Who's going number one? And who went number one?
I cannot say his first name. I'm going to butcher it. I am so, so sorry. We'll just go with Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney, thank you. I am so sorry.
I figured I was going to screw that one up, too, and I probably just did, too. But Jadeveon Clowney sounds closest where it's going to be. He went number one from South Carolina.
He's a defensive end, and the Houston Texans picked him up, which is...
No surprise.
No surprise. He was one of the rumors. Yay! That makes me happy. He went in the first round.
That's why they traded up, because coming back around in the second round, all the teams who need one would be looking for a quarterback. We'll get to that, what her squeak of joy was.
Yes, in a minute. We'll get there in a minute. But... So yeah, everybody was thinking it was going to be Johnny Manziel, there were a couple other people that were rumored, and well, it ended up being, how do you say his name again?
Jadeveon Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney, again, I'm so sorry, it's like, wait, that E shouldn't be there. Jadeveon Clowney, I will say it multiple times to get it right.
Yeah.
So, it was really actually a surprise.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like, again, everybody was saying it was going to be Manziel, it was going to be a couple other people.
No, not really. This is the guy everyone thought. He's been ranked number one on a lot of boards. He was the guy with the biggest upside.
Well, it's kind of unusual for a defensive end to be number one.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't happen often, but he's the best overall player, so that's where they went, and, you know, it's good for them. Some of the other highlights, Blake Bortles, quarterback from Central Florida, went number three. The Falcons took Jake Matthews, an offensive tackle from Texas A&M.
Whoop, whoop.
Mike Evans from Texas A&M went number seven. And then it got interesting. The Browns traded up, and everyone thought, that's where Johnny Manziel's going to go. And they went cornerback.
Yeah, they picked up Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State. And everybody's like, huh, okay, all right.
Vikings move up, and no.
No. they took Anthony Barr from UCLA.
And then you just go down the list, okay, not many people are expecting them, you know. Titans, Giants, Rams, they don't need a quarterback. Bears don't need a quarterback. Steelers don't. And then they came to the Cowboys, and it's like, they started talking this up. Jerry Jones had number one on the board. Johnny Manziel. Didn't happen.
Nope. Dallas ended up taking Zach Martin, an offensive tackle from Notre Dame. So.
There you go. Jets went with Calvin Pryor, a free safety.
Whoop whoop. Louisville boy, go Calvin.
And then the Packers took Ha ha, Clinton Dix.
That's an amazing name. I don't mean to laugh at it, but it's just like when it popped up, I told Rock, I was like, wow, that's a name.
Ha ha, Dix.
That's why it's Clinton Dix. Although that doesn't make it much better.
It doesn't. It really, really doesn't.
That poor kid. He had to put up with so much growing up, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
And, well, as we were, you know, immaturely chuckling about that.
Because we're, you know, we're child at heart, and dick humor is funny to us.
Yeah, we are. Cleveland traded again.
They traded with the Eagles for... Johnny Manziel. Johnny Football, after ESPN had a camera on him for 2.5 hours, looking right in his face over and over and over again, he finally got picked and is going to the, can't say the black hole because that's in Oakland, the orange hole of death in Cleveland?
He's going to Cleveland, y'all. Yes! Makes me so happy. I hope it humbles him just a little bit, though I doubt it. But yeah, so Johnny Football is going to Cleveland, y'all. And somewhere Miz is like, crap! You know he is.
Oh, I know. And Kinkins, that's why I said orange. I wasn't going brown.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so Johnny Manziel ends up going to Cleveland.
The Eagles picked up Marcus Smith, defensive end from...
Louisville! Whoop whoop!
And then, in a surprise move, Seattle traded their pick. They traded the number 32 overall pick for the 40th pick in the second round, Vikings second round pick, first second round pick, and a later pick for the first round pick of Seattle. So the Vikings move up and they take from Louisville.
Teddy Bridgewater, yay! He went in the first round. I'm so happy.
Go ahead.
I was worried he wasn't going to get picked up.
No, but he would have been picked up, but it would have been probably in the early second round because you had teams like the Texans who could use a quarterback and the, you know, the Raiders and the Buccaneers and stuff like that, and the Jaguars who could pick up a quarterback early in the second round. And well, Minnesota wanted their guy and they picked Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, so they're in need of a quarterback. I'm curious to see how he does in the cold because, well, Teddy's from Florida.
Well, they're indoors for now. No, they tore down the dome. That's true. Oh, he's going to be out in the cold.
So we'll see how he does. He should be used to at least Louisville winters, which are not too terrible, but they're not too fun either. So.
And when he did his workout, he was not a fan of the cold, so we'll see how this goes.
Well, yeah, they'll get him used to it either way, I'm sure, if he sticks around. They may trade him as well, but, you know, congratulations to everybody who got picked and to everybody who's waiting. We're keeping our fingers crossed for you that you get picked, because that's never a fun thing, so it's definitely going to be curious to see how all these people perform.
Yep, and, you know, this is like a holiday for some people, and that's now 3 days long, and it just drags. And this was 2 weeks later, so...
They're doing the second round right now. As we're doing the show.
No, they're not. The second round's done. The second round's tomorrow.
Oh, the second round's tomorrow? Well, fine. They're done with the first round, so, you know, if you want to check it out, go to your local sports website, whatever you use. ESPN, Yahoo, local, whoever. Check out the full draft order because we're not going to run down all 32 picks, but those were some of the highlights as we were sitting here watching it while Impact and NXT were going on.
I had three screens going at once.
See, I have the ESPN. I had ESPN on the computer, I had the network on my tablet, and I had Impact on my TV.
Impact on TV, network on the computer, ESPN, watch ESPN app on the iPad.
Yay, technology!
Yeah. This is our dedication for everybody. Just pointing this one out. Anyway, let's go to break.
On that note, we're going to take our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting Impact and what happened. Because, well, in addition to the unfortunate knee injury of Kurt Angle, there's some breaking news. And there was a very spectacular debut that we're going to have to break down. So we'll talk all about it right here on the rack on WildTalkRadio.com when we come back. Do her like she do her. Self-made, so paid, do an actor. She stop, do, stare, chicks do too. Bounce, so bounce, never ever gon' lose. Her top down crew so smooth, nothing better. Boom to the letter, you got to respect her. Mamacita off the meter, she a go-getter. With the speed of a cheetah, live jab and better. So hot, they sweat her like a sweater in a sauna. Elegant persona, ready for drama. Zeros and commas all up in the bank book. Haters give a saint look.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's up, bitches? This is the Boston Badass, a.k.a. the Big Time Player, a.k.a. the Resident Masshole, or just simply, Ace. I'm here to tell you about a way for you to find out about all the unusual things we have done over the years, and trust me, we have done a lot of unusual things over the past few years. Everything from bitches to crossing highways to strange ramblings by subway that no one ever really understands. Sex toys, which of course includes the blue dildo, and even the time, well, times I got pissed face drunk on this. Really, Rock? We're gonna really talk about that? Fuck you. You can relive all the excitement of your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night, CB Radio, by visiting our official website at cbradio.ewazone.com. That's once again, cbradio.ewazone.com. Don't be a bitch ass. Visit the site and listen every Saturday night. About midnight, sometimes it starts about 12:30-ish, you know, Eastern time. Just to find out what possibly we can come up with next.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNAsylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Right, go to youtube.com/mbg1211 for all the amazing videos and just general awesomeness, because, well, we love you, Matt.
Yeah, we do.
And now we're going to jump right into tonight's exciting Impact, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum, the haven for TNA fans. And we're going to hit the high points of the show. Because, well, we need to jump into it.
We gotta get into it. All right. Basically, this show started out tonight with Eric Young, who's going to be a fighting champion, confirming that he'll fight Bobby Roode for the title tonight on Impact. But that was put on hold because MVP said he has something bigger to announce later in the show, and that would be the naming of the new number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Ew. Yes, and, well, we're just going to jump right into that because that is the biggest news coming out of tonight's TNA Impact, and this actually got spoiled. So a lot of people were already aware that this was going to happen, including us, but tonight was the night that the announcement aired on television. And, well, it turns out that, well, the number one contender for Eric Young's TNA title is none other than MVP himself.
Yeah, the closer show had MVP come out and bring Eric Young out. We're going to bring out the number one contender. Waiting and waiting and waiting. The music never played, and then MVP says, yeah, I'm just going to announce it right now, and I'm going to tell you like this, and laid out Eric Young with a big right hand.
And then he proceeded to beat up Eric Young and let everybody know that, well, basically he's gold hungry, and he set Young up to become champion so he could conquer TNA with an easy target.
Oh, MVP. Yeah. First, he makes the heel turn that we should have seen coming 3 months ago because he is a better heel. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't... It will sort of start to make sense in the coming weeks, but right out the gate, him going heel really doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Especially with Dixie still in the picture, especially since she's... the one, since Dixie is still heel as well. So now you have two heel authority figures, and you have an anti-authority figure in Eric Young and Bully Ray, but you have nobody who is in charge who is a face, and that's weird.
It really is kind of weird, because the whole point of, you know, bringing in, getting rid of Dixie was getting rid of the heel authority. And now that they've brought back the heel authority, it's like, okay then. it sort of, you know, defeats the purpose of getting rid of Dixie in the heel in that authoritative role. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of this move, but I want to see how it plays out, because I have a feeling he'll play a good heel. That's not the issue. It just seems it seems a little quick.
I don't mind MVP as a heel. I would prefer to have somebody that he can play against, and I guess that's why he has EY, so he's going to play against EY, who's really a fantastic face. But I really do hate and kind of loathe, and this isn't a shot at TNA, this is just in wrestling in general, when you have an authority figure go after a title. I really don't like it, unless it's a means to an end. Like, I was okay with it with Triple H, you know, putting himself in the match at WrestleMania, because we all knew he wasn't going to actually be in the match. That was the means to get Daniel Bryan into the title match at WrestleMania. This, I hate when they do this kind of stuff. Because it's like, you know what, you're brought in as an authority figure, you should be an authority figure. You shouldn't be a part-time wrestler, and you certainly shouldn't hold a title.
No, and it's going to come off like he just bought his way into the company to become world heavyweight champion. He's buying a championship for himself.
Basically.
That's basically what it's going to turn out to be, and it's like there are moments where, okay, back in the day, Vince McMahon won the WWF title for, what, a day?
Something like that, yeah.
But it made sense, because he was trying to do something. He was trying to take the belt away from someone, and it had family implications involved. This is totally, totally different.
Yeah, this is... Yeah. I'm going to have to see how it plays out, and I will give it, you know, a chance. Absolutely. 100% will give it a chance. But, you know, as far as me personally, I just really don't like when they do storylines like this, and you have the authority figure go after a championship for themselves. Like, it's one thing if they go after it for somebody else. Like, in the case of Dixie going after it for Magnus. That's a little different, because then that's an actual wrestler, and not take shot at MVP, because MVP is a wrestler getting the championship. But it's like, for me, it's like, if you're going to come in and be a wrestler, then be a wrestler. Do that. If you're going to come in to be an authority figure, come in to be an authority figure.
I get
if you need to...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and if you need to occasionally wrestle, that's fine with me. But don't go after a title. Don't put yourself in a position to go after a title. Or something of, if they brought him in, it should have been... That was really kind of... That should have been hinted at all along.
And it's one of those things where now that they have they've created a board of directors, could his time as the director of operations come to an end around Slammiversary?
Oh, it very, very easily could. You could have the, you know, everything we've said where basically, well, you're an authority figure, you can't carry a title, come into play. Because, you know, they could say, we don't want another Jeff Jarrett.
Right, exactly.
But even when
Jeff Jarrett was never seen as the authority on television.
No, he was never the authority on television, that's the thing. That's how they kind of got away with it. Even though everybody knew he owned the company, he was never the authority figure on television, but still, it's like they don't want that kind of figure.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll give it a chance and I'll see, but I'm not a fan of this announcement.
No, but we'll see how it plays out. And I like the idea of him going heel. That makes sense. It just seems way too soon.
Yeah, it seems way too early. They're jumping on this way too early, and it's like, well, okay, if Dixie's heel and MVP is heel, then who's going to stop them? Bully?
I guess the board.
Or the board, yeah, I guess the board. I don't know. So, we'll have to see. It's kind of an interesting twist on things, and I'll give it a chance, but yeah, it seems a little soon and a little convoluted to me.
A little bit. Just a tiny bit.
But yeah, we also, you know, we need to talk about, well, your favorite group.
Oh, my favorite group? You mean your favorite group?
Well, you didn't like the name.
I don't like the name, the Menagerie.
Menagerie? We saw the debut of the Menagerie tonight with Nux as the leader. We had Creepy Clowns on Stilts. We had Crazy Steve. We had Rebel and her fire batons. And we had the Freak.
This Menagerie of... Yeah.
I will give them credit. It's creative. They're going for it.
Okay. Everyone has a look, except for the leader of the group, Nux. Like, could he have not bought gear?
Well, I think he has a coat or something.
But he's wrestling in his jeans again. He hasn't changed his look. You would, you know, it's a freak show. Maybe he should get some freak show look with him. I don't know. To me, it looks like a combination of the Wyatt family and the Adam Rose party. That's just me. And,
it looks like they're trying to capture the creepy of the Wyatt family without doing the Wyatt family.
Yeah. And Kaz was the victim of a Nux, basically a squash match tonight on the show. Sorry, Kaz. We like you.
Yeah, he looks so lost without Daniels. He came out to do their secret handshake and Chris wasn't there.
Like, he's just Frankie Kazarian. Not even one half a bad influence. He's just Frankie Kazarian.
And he still came out with a bad influence music and everything, and it was like, oh, poor Frankie.
He's just a lone soldier at this point. Very lonely soldier. Finishing out his tour of duty, as it basically seems like.
Pretty much, yeah. But, I mean, like I said, they're going for it. I will give them that. They did a nice job on the entrance.
Way too long.
Way too long. Basically, everybody got introduced. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to do that every week. I hope they don't do that every week, because I swear to God, the entrance was longer than the match.
It really, really, really was. It just seemed like it went on and on and on and on, and not in that fun way. As it were, it was not even the fun long entrance. It just seemed long.
And basically, they kept everything focused on the girl.
Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, nothing wrong with that at all. Props to her for doing the split on the ropes.
That was impressive.
She got way better balance than I do. Way better.
Well, not going to say a word.
I would have fallen. She almost fell. I would have fallen on my face.
I know.
So, but yeah, this, I'll give it a chance, but it seems like they're trying to, like you said, capture a little bit of the Wyatt family, just in the way that it's presented, because, you know, it's not a happy carnival, it's a creepy sort of
thing.
Where Crazy Steve, he's a little, you know, he's crazy and he's made up oddly. The Stiltwalkers are very macabre looking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very just, yeah, they're going for the creepy carnival kind of thing, which, you know, everybody can buy into. It's kind of a horror show kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't know if it's going to work with the way that you have Nux and Rebel kind of running things. Because it's like on one side you've got the creepy carnival, and then on the other side you have Nux acting like a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
At the carnival, who, you know, it's cute to see him uber excited, and, you know, Rebel's like, I don't know. I don't know if this is okay. And it's just, it's yeah. It's,
oh, I want to see what they do.
I want to see what they do with it. I want to see how it goes. But so far, it was like, it's like, okay, well, they're going for it. Props to them for going for it.
Exactly. And the one other big highlight from the show was Bully Ray going to Nashville.
Oh, this was hilarious. Well, Bully Ray does the TNA offices. This was amazing.
Rockstar Spud, once again, highlight of the night. Leopard print suit and bow tie.
Green socks.
And the greens. It ended up with Bully Ray holding in the staff meeting with the folks as Dixie was ran away. And Bully really wanted the whole motto came out to be, new motto for TNA is tables. And Rockstar Spud, who would not have a beer with Bully Ray, got put through a table. Sorry, Spud.
But the end result is Bully now knows where Dixie lives.
So, Dixie, you better run.
We should also know that just so he can hear the horn, go ahead and play it.
I didn't even have it queued up, so.
Well, cue it up.
That way he can actually, you know, get excited because he gets to hear it one more time.
The Wolves defended the TNA Tag Team Championships in a ladder match against the Bromans, and the Wolves were successful in their defense, so go them.
Go them.
Bobby Roode was tossed out of the impact zone without pants.
He wanted his stuff.
He did. And basically, they kicked him out in his wrestling gear. It's like, you know, somebody could have at least gotten him some pants.
No, Al said he would get him stuff and just bring it to him at the hotel.
Yeah. Pretty much. There was an evening gown match.
Which, with the beautiful people beating Brittany and Madison Rayne. And more creepy Willow.
Yeah, and then we had Willow taking on Magnus. We saw interference from Bram, who I thought was Gunner for a second.
And it looks like Bram and Magnus and Willow will be a feud coming up.
Yes. But overall, this was a good show.
Yeah, it was fine. The show was fine. Nothing bad, I can say. There was nothing bad on this show.
Yeah, there's nothing bad on the show. It's just there's a couple things that they did that I'm not sure about that I'm going to have to see
play
how it goes.
Yeah, we just got to see how things play out. I like the heel turn. It just seems way too early. And him fighting for the title, a couple other guys probably could fight for that title, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So it's just like, okay. And also we should note, before we kind of go to break, that the freak show showed up in a crate.
Well, they arrived from the carnival, so.
Yeah, but they showed up in a shipping crate.
How else were they supposed to get there?
They could have at least put air holes in it.
Air holes. Who needs air holes?
People do, to live.
They're not people, they're freaks.
They're still people. Freaks are people, okay?
They can breathe through the wood.
Really? Really?
Why not?
Anyway, they could have put air holes in the crate.
Maybe they did and you just didn't see them.
I hope they were on the other side.
They could have been. I don't know.
You know what, King Kids? You get the horn. Don't complain when you get the horn.
We can
have got the horn.
And if you complain again, we can have El Torito give you the horn.
There you go. Because he's definitely horny.
And on that note...
So we're going to take our second break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about tonight's exciting impact, including who moved on in the Divas Tournament to determine the new Women's Champion for NXT, and of course, there was a Battle Royal to determine the new number one contender for Adrian Neville's title. Do you believe that Bo Dallas moved on, or was it somebody else? I guess you're going to have to tune in and find out. Because we'll tell you all about it next on The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Hey, did you know that CB Radio is all over social media? Well, now you do, bitch asses. We are all over Facebook and Twitter. When it comes to Facebook, it's simple. Just go to facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. All one word. It's not that difficult. Go ahead, enter it in your website address, fucking go to it, even search for it if you're really that lazy. Go to Facebook, search up at the top cigarette butts and bandanas. You know, it's not that difficult to find us and like us. Come on, you listen to us every week. Just fucking give us a like. We're all over Twitter, too. Every single one of us is on Twitter. You can follow the show at CB Radio WTR. That's the letter R, you know, Q-R-S. I just can't pronounce it. You know, I'm from Boston. Suit my bitches. After you follow the show, be sure to follow me, the Boston badass himself, at Mr. Chris Loesch. L-O-E-S-C-H. All one word. That's in case you didn't know how to spell my last name. You can follow Rob Pox, you know, the godfather of extreme, at CB Radio G-O-E. And you can even follow Subway, who actually has got Twitter. He has a smartphone now and is on Twitter, so you can follow him and hopefully he makes a little bit more sense there than he does on air, at X-Core Subway. Not that difficult, was it, people? Now stay a part of the fun and excitement that happens off the air, just as well as you do on the air, every Saturday night at midnight-ish, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
I'm all grown up now, and I listen and learn a true star, and I'm finally getting my turn. Took my L, burnt my spot. I'ma be here for a minute, sonny boy, if you like it or not. While you think about chicks and whips, I'm on a yacht, though. Lay back, sun in my face, just like Pablo or Tony Montana. The world is mine. Ain't a cloud in the sky that can stop my shine.
And welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right, youtube.com/mbg1211, because we love you, Matt, and you're awesome.
And he is indeed awesome. Go check out this thing, because we put him out on Facebook. Check him out. And also, check out his Facebook page as well. Search for MBG Films, because, well, he does videos for WWE, and they're on their YouTube channel, so you may want to check them out, because if you look close enough, you may see our logo on the WWE YouTube channel.
Kind of awesome.
Just pointing that one out.
Yeah, you know, we're on the WWE YouTube channel because we're awesome. So anyway, speaking of WWE, we're going to break down NXT for you tonight because, well, they had a lot happen. We had the continuation of the title tournament to determine the new women's champion. We, of course, had, well, some tag team action, which was pretty exciting. Further, you know, furthering Adam Rose's feud a bit, and of course, the Battle Royal to determine the new number one contender.
Yeah, we did. Before we get into the recap, I just realized, because I'm looking at the picture that's on the screen right now, I gotta change it already, because Paige is up there in WWE now, and so is Adam Rose, has just made his debut. It's like, oops.
And, you know, that goober in the middle in the white trunks, yeah, he's going to have to go too, he's on his way up.
Yeah, left with Paige and Sami Zayn. Got to find new people to put in the picture.
Bayley and Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah, Bayley and Sami Zayn. I bet.
And, well, it all depends on how long Sami Zayn's going
to
be there.
Yeah, I might have to move him, too. Anyway, good thing I save images. Anyway, let's get into the show. And as you mentioned, the NXT Women's Title Tournament is continuing, and our opening contest was Emma and her Bubbles taking on Charlotte. This match basically showed off Charlotte's power over Emma.
Yeah, this was really, really good.
Charlotte was trying to out-wrestle Emma for a while. Emma made her comeback a couple times throughout the match. She had a nice clothesline at one point on Charlotte during her comeback. And then, Miss Cobra showed up. Didn't strike Charlotte. It struck Sasha Banks, who was at ringside. And, well, because of that distraction, Charlotte hit the Charlotte's Web, and Charlotte moves on.
Things are getting interesting.
I like this match. I wish they got more time, and I wish Emma had a little bit more offense, but you can clearly see what the direction is, where they're going with it, and you can see that Charlotte is, well, a big to-do in the division right now, and she could be the next women's champion when they put the belt on the line at NXT TakeOver.
Yeah, I have a really funny feeling this is going to come down to Sasha and Charlotte, because they've been teasing the breakup of the BFFs. You know, there's been dissension ever since Summer left, so that's what I'm betting it comes down to, is Charlotte and Sasha. I'd be really curious to see which one of them takes it. Probably Charlotte.
Only if Sasha can first get past Natty next week.
Well, you could have Charlotte Coster. You never know. I would be okay with seeing Charlotte versus Natty.
I would be okay with that one too. But any of the ladies who are left involved that could will bring any sort of unique matches to the tournament. I'm really liking this tournament.
Again, I'm going to reiterate what I said last week. I like that they're making this feel important, that it's a big deal to crown a new women's champion in NXT. I wish they would do something like this on the regular television, because this has been great, because we've been getting some absolutely fantastic matches, and we still have one more to go as far as the title tournament is concerned to talk about, and that's a little bit later. But yeah, this is great.
Well,
WWE, I'm loving this.
But WWE did the exact same thing on the main roster with the Intercontinental Championship. So,
I'm talking about for the women's title. Like, if the Divas title were ever to be vacated, I would love to see them do something like this, or to have a tournament in general to determine who is the number one contender for Paige. Like, they don't do stuff like this on the main roster for the girls, and I wish they would, because this is great.
Oh, I know, and this gives, again, that's about lack of faith, and it at least shows in NXT they have faith in the girls to go and have competitive matches on television. And so far, the weakest match that I've seen featured two of the girls who are on the main roster, and that was Natty and Layla.
Yeah, the Natty-Layla match was just okay.
But just think about it. That was the weakest of the bunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that just shows you how good the young girls are and how they're improving.
Oh, the young girls can go.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, at least as far as on NXT TV, I haven't really seen a weak one in the bunch yet. All the girls can go, and they can go better than half the girls on the main roster right now. And that says something.
It shows these girls want it.
These girls want it, but also that these girls are getting properly trained, because, you know, if you think about it for a lot of the girls that are on the main roster now, they came in, they were taught a couple moves, and then they were brought up. And they weren't really, because, you know, you've heard girls like Maria Kanellis and that kind of thing mention that kind of thing where, you know, it wasn't really emphasized to them that they should learn how to wrestle.
It's a different era, and now you see girls like the Bellas who were brought in the era with Maria Kanellis and the like, learning how to fully wrestle, and you can see the improvement from the Bellas trying to become from being just eye candy models to actual professional wrestlers.
Yeah, you see Alicia Fox stepping up her game as well, and Alicia Fox has actually improved leaps and bounds as well.
And we'll talk about her here in a minute.
We will, but yeah, so as the girls come up, I'm very excited because we're getting some good competition, and we might see a second golden age in the Divas division, which, if that happens, we'll be ecstatic.
Oh, with Paige and AJ leading the top of the division on the main roster, and then all the girls coming up?
Yeah.
We're in for a nice wrestling era for the girls again.
Yeah. Very excited to say that and hear that, because that's an awesome prospect.
It is.
But speaking of awesome prospects, up next we had match number 2 of the evening with Marcus Louis and Sylvester Lafour taking on a debuting Kalisto and L.O.Cal!
Yeah, and
that's right.
Go ahead.
L.O.Cal made his NXT debut tonight, and we were so excited.
Here we are. The Sylvester Lafort and Marcus Luis, is it?
Yes.
Are the Legionnaires.
Yes. Very French.
Very, very French-sounding name. And they,
we even had Renee Young, who was on commentary, speak French.
Yes, we did. The Legionnaires worked over L.O.Cal a lot. There was a lot of back and forth tags between the two. They showed solid teamwork throughout the match. I just wasn't overly impressed. Like, there was nothing that really jumped out at me when they were on offense. But when Kalisto was tagged in, he came in as a house of fire. Kick.
Oh, God, he's amazing.
Kicks and flips and all that fun stuff. He was just a house of fire coming in there. He breathed the fresh breath of air into this matchup, and he had a nice spin kick for L.O.Cal and Kalisto to win the match. Fans were chanting, Lucha, Lucha, Lucha. throughout the match.
I asked Rock, I was like, can we trade Kalisto for Sin Cara?
Sadly,
oh my God.
No.
I'm looking forward to seeing Kalisto come up on the main roster. Because he could have some good matches with some folks.
He could. I want to see more of him in NXT before I'm right. He was in there for a minute, so I want to see how he works.
I think they're trying to slow him down a little bit, and they did a nice job in this match where you can tell he's slowing down, and he worked well with Louis and LaFour.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to see, because it looks like they're going to maybe set them up to go against the Ascension, so we'll have to see how they do against two brawlers like the Ascension.
Yeah, it will be. But I'm they're focusing, one thing we've been saying for weeks, and they've even been addressing it on commentary. Tag teams, tag teams, tag teams. We need some tag teams. And that's where the focus is.
Yes. We're now getting tag teams. So yay! So after this, we got our Adam Rose Party Express experience of the night with Adam Rose giving a pep talk to the masked member that got, you know, beat up by Camacho last week, because apparently we're going to see the masked member taking on Camacho, and it's next. So it was Camacho versus Captain Comic.
Who hails from Comic-Con, apparently.
I love this. I just couldn't stop laughing.
It was a total squash by Camacho. He dominated Captain Comic, tried making a comeback, but he just got taken out from the jump. And then Camacho just, you know, destroyed him basically throughout the match, but it was Captain Comic. Oh, if you go cheesy, you go full cheesy, and they went full cheesy there, and I liked it. Good little squash. It added some heat to the Adam Rose Camacho feud, because that's the match Adam Rose made the save.
Adam Rose comes out to check on Captain Comic, and well, he is none too happy.
No, he wasn't.
Adam's patience is being tested, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
After this, we got a nice little promo from Alicia Fox that she says she's pretty good at predicting the future, and in her future, she sees gold. And she's pretty sure that a lot of divas probably don't know how to take that.
Haters gonna hate. She dropped haters gonna hate. In her promo.
Winners are gonna celebrate or something like that.
Winners gonna celebrate or something like that,
Something close to that, yeah. But and then we got a promo from the debuting Alexa Bliss, where basically she said that, you know, she's making her debut tonight and she's looking forward to making a splash, and she's also looking forward to following in the footsteps of one Paige.
Right, and she says when she's around, life is bliss. Catchy. Then we get to the match, Alicia Fox versus Alexa Bliss, and let's talk about her fairy intro.
She's like a little blue and silver fairy. It's like she comes out in a tutu
with fairy dust,
blows glitter everywhere.
It was cute.
She needs wings. That's all she needs, and you know, so she can just like flutter to the ring. Like, she's so adorable. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it was unique and different, and I like that what they do with the girls. They make them unique and different, and no one looks the same in NXT. They all have a specialness to them.
Right, which is something that we've kind of been asking for a really long time in the Divas division, because there for a while, all the Divas were the same, and none of them ever really stood out. And now, all the Divas that are coming up have their own personalities, their own looks, their own quirks, and you know who is who.
Bliss came out firing early, had a nice, I believe it was a backflip moonsault.
Yes.
On Fox. Fox was able to take control a little bit, had it hit a nice backbreaker, and you saw Fox was dominating, showing her veteran experience over the newbie, Alexa Bliss. And then, Bliss makes a little bit of a comeback, hard force to Alicia Fox. And then she comes springing off the ropes into a small package. Alexa Bliss beats Alicia Fox in her first victory in an upset on NXT, moving on in the tournament. I like the finish. It was creative.
Oh, the finish was great because basically Alicia Fox went for her finisher, which is, I guess, the backbreaker over the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the slam to the mat, because she did that on Alexa, and she kicked out. And so Alicia went for it again, and Alexa countered it and took it into a small package, and that's how she won, which was a really nice finish to the match. Very creative, didn't see it coming. But yeah, so Alexa Bliss upsets Alicia Fox.
Good stuff.
She gonna get killed when she has to face Charlotte, unfortunately, but this was a great match.
Exactly. So, nice debut for Alexa Bliss.
Yes. The little fairy.
The little Tinkerbell, as they called her.
Yeah, they called her. Like, Renee, like, didn't even know how to take her, but she's like, oh my gosh, she's kind of cute.
Which was adorable. Neville cut a promo, gave generic thoughts about the Battle Royal. He says it's a difficult match, and whoever wins will earn his respect, and he's ready for the competition when he defends the title at NXT TakeOver. And it then brought us to the main event, the NXT Battle Royal, for the number one contendership for Neville's championship. You had names like Mojo Rawley, Brodus Clay, Sami Zayn, Bo Dallas, Tyson Kidd, Xavier Woods, Bo Dallas, Camacho, Yoshitatsu, among others in the Battle Royal.
You said
Royal.
Bo Dallas twice.
Because I wrote it down twice. oops. I'm just reading my notes. I wrote his name down twice. Sorry. What do you want from me? Anyway. Either way, a lot of people, I think it was like 15, 20 people in this Battle Royal. Good Battle Royal. Everyone ganged up on Brodus Clay to eliminate him. And then things picked up. We got down to like the final 8 or 9 people. And Bo Dallas, the Believer himself, went on a roll. 4 straight eliminations. On his own.
Yep, Bo was impressive. I will give him that. He was very impressive.
Bo was determined. Bo wanted to be the number one contender for the NXT title. Then got eliminated by Tyson Kidd.
Yeah. Tyson Kidd, well, he's not a Believer.
No, he's really not. The finish came down to Tyler Breeze, Sami Zayn, and Tyson Kidd. Oh, this finish. You had Sami Zayn and Tyson Kidd both thrown over the top rope, but they are both holding on to the ropes. Holding on. They were holding on to these ropes, creative. And then, I think it was Sami Zayn who did the what's it called? He flipped back up over the ropes and grabbed Breeze by the head and dragged him over, and all three men landed on the outside at the same time.
Yeah, Zayn did the skin the cat.
Thank you, that's what it was.
Yeah, so, well, there is no new number one contender because they all hit at the same time, even though technically Breeze hit last. But, because he was on top. But, well, this created a bit of a controversy because, well, what do? They all three hit the floor at the same time. What do? The fans start chanting for a triple threat. The refs are confused. They don't know how to call it. And then, well,
things got interesting from there. All three men were pushing and shoving one another. They were heated. They weren't happy about the finish. And then the King of Kings, Triple H, came out. And, well, asked the fans, what should we do? What should we do? Talks about the confusing ending, controversy. Fan chant, triple threat one more time. And that's what we get next week on NXT. It'll be Sami Zayn, Tyler Breeze, and Tyson Kidd for the number one contendership for the NXT Championship.
Which should be a really, really, really good match.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be good, y'all.
Yeah, it will be. This was a fun episode of NXT.
It really was.
It had
a, nice job with it.
They had a lot. There was a lot of importance. See, for a few weeks they had nothing to build to, and that's what a lot of when shows don't have something to build to, they sort of here's Squash Matt. Let's make the guys push the guys. We're now seeing where we've stopped the squash matches a little bit. We've introduced people from, when they came on network, we were just introducing people week in and week out. Now they're becoming regular characters on the TV. And we're building towards something.
Yes.
And every match sort of has an importance of some sort, whether it be the NXT Women's Title Tournament, or building a tag division, or crowning a number one contender this week. Building towards something, and that's always good. And especially with NXT, you're not building a month, you're building a couple months, and you're building it slowly, and it's great.
Yeah, and it's nice that they're doing the 2-hour specials, because like you said, it gives them to build to, it gives them something special to look forward to, as opposed to just match in, match out week after week, which is very, very nice. And you feel the importance of the 2-hour show that's coming in a couple weeks. You really feel that this matters to them. This is important. Well, if it's important to them, then as a fan, it's important to me. And I should care.
And that's why I like this show. It's simple, it's fun, and it's not dragging. It's important. There's a purpose throughout the entire 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah. And that's wonderful to see.
It is. Good, enjoyable show tonight.
Very enjoyable. But speaking of enjoyable, we have one more show to go through. I'm so sorry. But before we get there, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to recap Extreme Rules and let you know what happened and give you our high points, our low points. And yes, we're going to be talking about Wyatt, so just deal with it. And we also, have our question of the night, which is, of course, if you were building your own wrestling company, who would you build it around? The Shield or the Wyatts? We'll break that down for you. And, of course, Tweet of the Week and so much more. So you listen to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back. Matthias Drake, a wrecked your finger now, boy, cause it's just a matter of time, cause you got no chance, no chance at all, you got no chance, no chance at all, you got. Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you. In the form of the Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with the Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
Hey.
to, of course, by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesday, youtube.com/mbg1211. Check out all his awesome figure reviews and, of course, his stop-motion animation, which just happens to also appear on the WWE YouTube channel, which is pretty cool. Matt Goldberg, future Oscar winner. Write it down now, because we're going to get a shout-out.
We better. Or we're coming to get you.
Hey, you know what? You're somewhere in Savannah, Matt. I can find you. Just kidding. Anyway, tweet of the week.
She's not kidding.
I'm not. I have Google Earth on my new phone.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less, it's what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more, it cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, my first one is from Celeste Bond, a.k.a. Caitlin. I thought it would be a cold day in hell before both AJ and I would ever be getting married. And it's not even to each other. To which somebody replied, fanfics, Caitlin, fanfics.
I had the Caitlin one.
I bet you did. And then Mr. Cheesier than Velveeta himself, Bo Dallas, I've got the whole world in my hands, hashtag Boleave, and it's a picture of him hugging a giant globe, which I'm throwing in the chat right now.
Boleave, everybody.
Boleave, everybody. And I'm sure his brother took the picture. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if he did. Anyway, that's all I got.
Alright, Alyssa Milano goes, eating tiger penis is now illegal in China. Don't believe me? Look it up. David Murphy, NBC's 3D animated race simulation had Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 winning. CNN wept. Not Bill Walton. California Chrome showed Danza who's the boss. I know that one was so cheesy, but it worked. WWE creative-ish. Given his inability to grow a beard, Dean Ambrose is the Shield's Randy Orton. Hashtag Extreme Rules. Scott Fishman goes, Bray Wyatt's entrance is no longer an entrance. It's an experience. Lindsay agrees with that one.
People hold up their cell phones now. It's awesome.
Sam Roberts, not Sam. I was WWE's first pick for the role of Little Johnny Wyatt, but I couldn't do the voice. Hashtag Extreme Rules. Gregory Iron. That Kane Bryan finish was hot. ... Kenny Mayne, draft week decision. NFL team execs meeting late, drink in hand, sports TV on, sponsored by alcohol. Passing judgment regarding marijuana. Tommy Dreamer, I threw a super kick to Beulah in a grocery store and said, sell it, but it wasn't her, so I picked up short, I pulled up short and did a weird I'm stretching thing pose. Oh, Tommy. Sheamus, I swear I wasn't having 40 winks during the Rusev Extreme Rules bout. That said, I am very well rested for Raw tonight. ProWrestling.net, Alex Riley just told us that Bray Wyatt is targeting people who didn't go to college and don't have a plan. Wyatt Family U t-shirts? That'd be kind of cool.
I don't think he'd go for it, but it's a clever idea.
Aubrey Citizen, get your Kindle now on WWE Shop.
Ba-dum-ching.
J. Justin Gabriel. I had to make sure this was legit because, you know, you see images on Tumblr of tweets and not make sure it's real. I had to make sure this one's real. Was. Is that Kelly Kelly with Rusev? She does like foreign guys. Ouch. Joe Villa. I want to play Hungry Hungry Hippos with Adam Rose on the Exotic Express. Who doesn't? Zeb Coulter. Upon further review and in consult with Real Jack Swagger, Lana can stay. We're compassionate individuals.
Good call, Zeb. Good call.
Here are a few bad prequels. The Amazing Peter Parker gets his field trip permission slip signed. Hashtag bad prequel. And Betty and White just caught Free Willy. Bad prequels. Mike Mooneyham. Braves lose! Win streak over. I really can't talk, but I saw it and I had to use it. The Phillies have lost like 4 in a row. Anyway. The fake ESPN. The Johnny Manziel drinking game. Get shit-faced every time they point that fucking camera at me while I'm still sitting here, goddammit. Landstorm. So this NFL draft thing, do the guys who usually play games on Monday just get drafted to the Friday games? Hashtag wrestling bubble. No, Lance. No. Gabe Goodwin. You know it's bad when the Browns trade twice not to draft you. Hashtag Manziel. Well, here we go. Not SportsCenter. Picks. This is a recap of the NFL draft, even though we did it earlier. All right? Ready for it? These are picks 6 through 10. Number 6, not Johnny Manziel. Number 7, still not Manziel. Number 8, nope, not Manziel either. 9, Manziel? Nah. Number 10, no Manziel here. Report from the fake John Madden. Report. As Johnny Manziel continues to slide, Cowboys representatives trying to lure Jerry Jones out of the war room with a squeaky toy. And Chris Berman. The fake ESPN. Chris Berman's nickname for Ha Ha Clint Dix is Steve. That, I believe, is Tweet of the Week.
Alright, well, let's jump right into Extreme Rules. Because...
yeah.
We can lead into our question of the night later. But we gotta talk about Extreme Rules, because, oh my goodness, what a pay-per-view.
This was a very fun pay-per-view. Like, legit, it was a fun show from top to bottom.
It had its slow moments, but yeah, the top three matches, for sure, were amazing, and we'll get to those, but we have to talk about really the barn burner of the evening, the match that started the show, and a lot of shit online afterwards, the WLC match between Hornswoggle and El Torito. Oh my god, nobody knew what to expect. Nobody, but it was way better than we ever thought it could be.
All right, let's break this down. WBL. Micro Cole. Jerry the Mini King Lawler, as they introduced themselves. They gave him another name later. Can't remember what it was. All I have is Mini King Lawler. Anyway, they were the announcers. You had a mini ref and a mini ring announcer. The mini announcers were sitting at a mini announce table.
They had baby tables!
The match started with Torito with a nice dive to the outside on 3MB. There was a mini chair that was used a couple of times during the match. Hornswoggle grabbed the mini ladder, but didn't like the step stool one. He wanted a little bit bigger of a mini ladder. At one point, Jinder Mahal got gored in his ass. Poor Jinder. Don't hinder Jinder. Hornswoggle at one point had set up a ladder and he started climbing it. And as he was climbing this ladder, the mini announcers were going, jump, 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 jump. He jumped and missed. The match took a break, came back. One of the matadors got backdropped through a mini table. Ow. Hornswoggle, though, got some revenge. Had Torito laid out on the mini announce table, and Ricardo was very protective of his Spanish table, just pointing at the mini table. Hornswoggle goes up and splashed Torito through the mini announce table on the outside. The Swoggle, though, was not done, however. He went to hit Torito with a chair, hit Slater instead, and then set him through tables. Torito dove over the top rope, and sent the Matadors and Jinder Mahal through tables at ringside. That looked like it hurt.
Yeah, it did.
Then your boy Drew McIntyre, he took a tumble. He went after Torito, and well, basically did a big old flip dive over the top rope and through the table.
Mm-hmm.
Ow, Drew, ow. But finally, Torito drives Hornswoggle through the table for the victory. El Torito wins the WLC. This was better than we could even imagine. We sat here last week going, this could be either really, really bad or really, really good, and this was really, really, really good.
Yeah, thankfully this was really good. It was very enjoyable, because like I said, nobody really knew what to expect or how they were going to do it. We were all kind of sitting here going, I wonder. And then it's like, they went for it. Like, they went for it.
They took
full out.
They turned the cheesiness factor up.
And it worked.
Great. It's great. I love the match.
It was hilarious. It was like, oh my god, this is amazing.
I don't need to see it next week again, but it was really, really good.
You know, for what it was very entertaining, very enjoyable, didn't have a problem with it at all. Great way to kick off the pay-per-view. You know, Torito and Hornswoggle went for it. All the, you know, the Matadors and 3MB, they went for it as well. Everybody clearly was going for it and enjoying it and having fun with it. And it's like, you know, I think there was a lot of just fuck it in that match and let's just go for it.
They wanted to have some fun and they had a lot of it.
They did.
Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Very good stuff.
Yes. So, and they don't need to do it too many more times, but yeah, for what it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Opening your pay-per-view, you had Cesaro taking on Rob Van Dam and Jack Swagger in a triple threat elimination match.
Alright, let's start with Paul Heyman sets his whole promo up, gets everyone hyped about ECW and being extreme, and says, the 11th commandment of extreme, thou shalt not boo Paul Heyman. He builds it up, and then he talks about the thing.
Are you really surprised he talked about the thing?
No, but it was a nice setup. Very good stuff.
It was a great setup.
It was like, goddamn you, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, this Heyman comes out, cuts the promo, does a really great job with the promo, and it's just like, oh, I hate you, dude. I hate you so much.
And then we get into the match itself. The match itself started out very slow with the three men involved. Cesaro was hit the big swing on Swagger until RVD broke it up, got a boo from the crowd. But a nice frog splash from Rob Van Dam eliminated Jack Swagger and left the announcer confused, like, wait, two and a half, but he didn't kick out. But the announcers just got confused. on that one. But once they got rid of Swagger, this match turned out really good.
Oh yeah, RVD and Cesaro turned it up to 10. They had a phenomenally good match. This was great.
Van Dam did his leaping leg drop off the spinning leg drop to the outside onto Cesaro, who was hanging on the barricade. Van Dam did the Van Daminator with the trash can at one point. RVD had laid down the trash can on top of Cesaro. Goes for a frog splash, missed, hit the trash can. Then Cesaro hit the neutralizer on the trash can for the victory. You should also mention there was a nice couple of suplex spots, which they did again on Raw during this match. Cesaro throws a mean German suplex.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like Van Damme kills himself every time he takes it, but that's always been Van Damme. He looks like he's dead every time he takes a suplex, which is good selling by Van Damme. I like this match. I liked it when Cesaro and Van Damme really went at it. Swagger just sort of was there.
Yes, I would like to see the full-blown feud between Swagger and Cesaro, because I think we could get a really good wrestling match out of it. But Swagger's kind of an afterthought at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, if you're going to do Van Damme Cesaro, just do Van Damme Cesaro and take Swagger out of the equation. Which I think is what they're doing. But yeah, it's like, once Swagger got out of the match, this was really, really good. The spot with the trash can. Ow!
Yeah, a couple of them. Ow.
Yeah, I mean, they went for it. They went full force. And that's really kind of the theme for tonight, is they went for it. And, went full force. They were throwing each other around. And this was a really good match.
It really was. And I should say at this point, with Cesaro winning, me and Lindsay are 2-0.
Aha! Up next, we have Alexander Rusev defeating R-Truth and Xavier Woods in a 2-on-1 handicap match. This was your general squash match. Not much to really write home about. Lana looked hot.
Xavier Woods got taken out before the match even started. It was a singles match, basically. And Rusev dominated. So Rusev wins the match, which makes us 3-0 at that point. One thing we missed before going to this match, the bigger moment, because the match was nothing to write home about. Daniel Bryan was getting checked out backstage, and Steph walked in, checking on Bryan, saying she can't control the monster. And then she suggested Daniel Bryan to surrender the WWE title and not fight the monster known as Kane, but, you know, he was the having part about it. And, well, then Stephanie said, what did you say to me on, say to me on Monday? Oh, that's right. Well, Stephanie turned it around and said, Stephanie says, Bryan will walk out tonight, Kane's bitch.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see.
I like that line from Steph.
Yeah, that was a good line. After this, we see Wade Barrett defeat Big E to capture the Intercontinental Championship. Again.
Where he was the Intercontinental Champion last year, Extreme Rules, and like 3 years ago at Extreme. Anyway, Intercontinental Champion Wade Barrett. I think every time he holds a belt, it's a different color. Big E speared Barrett through the ropes at one point, which they replayed a spot on Monday. It's just an out spot. Looks like it really hurts. Big E was able to kick out of the wasteland at 2. Big E at one point countered the bullhammer elbow. Fans were booing as he was taking control. Straps came down. Barrett escapes the big ending, and then Big E ducks the bullhammer again, but this time Barrett came off the ropes with a flying bullhammer elbow, and as Lindsay said, a brand new Intercontinental Champion in the one and only Wade Barrett.
This was a good match.
It was a really, really, really good, solid contest between the two of them, so, yeah. Good stuff. I liked it. And, you know, for Big E, it basically was,
I'm afraid I've got some bad news!
Keep adding things to the soundboard. Can you tell?
I'm so glad.
I got toys. Anyway, we now get into what I would assume was match of the night.
One of them. It's a match of the night contender. It's honestly really close between this match and the World Heavyweight Championship match. Because we're now going to talk about The Shield taking on Evolution, in which The Shield came out victorious. Holy crap, this match.
Brawl opened the start. Shield tossed out Evolution. Rollins dove out on Hunter. Things then went from Shield side to Evolution taking control. Throughout this match, this is one point that I didn't get to mention on Sunday, and I want to really mention it. Throughout the match, you had all three members of the Shield working with, individually, with Evolution. He had Rollins in there for a while. He got to work with Hunter, Orton, and Batista. Hunter was in there with Orton, with Ambrose. Ambrose was in there with Orton and Batista, and same goes for Roman. All three guys got some time in with the three big boys. And they worked a great battle. When Roman finally got tagged in...
Oh, the place erupted.
All hell broke loose. There was a nice flipping escape at one point where Rollins landed on his feet when he was yanked by Orton throughout the match, which was nice. A lot of Bautista chants. Roman came in, as I said, as a house on fire, hit a Superman punch to Batista after Rollins did the ninja knee. So the Shield's ready to hit the triple powerbomb. They actually do hit the triple powerbomb. But Roman Reigns got pulled out of the ring at the two count. A brawl ensued from there a little bit. There was a pedigree to Roman Reigns. And then Ambrose was brawling with Hunter. Batista crawls onto to Roman for a two count. It was a long two count. Again, Roman then gets up, gets RKO'd. Another two count as Seth Rollins breaks it up. And then... Then more shenanigans and stuff happen as all four men brawl. I should tell you, leaving Batista and Roman in the ring. They're down for the count at that point. Ambrose does a running dive off the announce table. It's like, don't fall, don't fall, don't fall, and he just dives onto Orton and Hunter.
That was a great spot.
Then. The brawl erupts, and they go fighting through the crowd. As they go through the crowd, they get up on it to a level, and it's like, okay, Dean, don't fall. What does Dean do? He falls down the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Dean. So he falls down the stairs. Orton and Hunter follow him down. They throw Dean around a little bit down the outside, and everyone's wondering, where's Seth Rollins? Where's Seth Rollins? And I go, he's about to dive. What does he do?
He dives.
He dives right down on Hunter and Orton and Ambrose.
Off the balcony onto Hunter and Orton.
Yeah.
And Dean.
Poor Dean. We'll get to Dean in a second. So all four men are down in the crowd a little bit. We go back to the ring. Batista spine busters Roman Reigns. Batista gets all psyched, ready to go. He's going to hit the Batista bomb. It's going to be over. Evolution's going to win. But Roman Reigns shoves him off back into the corner and then delivers a hell of a Superman punch where Dave just went down for the count. Like, he sold it like he was shot after that Superman punch. And then a big spear to Batista and the Shield win.
Oh, this was an amazing match. I don't think the Shield can put on a bad one.
Well,
somebody should challenge them to do that.
Well, give them Great Khali and a couple other people, and you know.
What, Great Khali and Ryback and?
Yeah.
Eva Marie.
There you go, King Kane's favorite, Eva Marie. Yeah.
But no, I mean, you really can't sing this match's praises enough. It was so phenomenally good. I've actually had to watch it a couple times to pick up on everything that they did, because there was so much going on in this match. It was really well done. It was really well put together. the Shield, as good as they are, you can tell that they've definitely improved leaps and bounds, especially Roman, who has really come along.
And what they're better at now than they weren't a year ago, and they were having great matches a year ago, but they were the heels.
Right.
Now they're the baby faces, and now they got to tell a story. And they've gotten better at telling a story.
They have. They really, really, truly have, which is nice to see. Like you said, I liked how all of the guys got to work together. It was kind of funny because the internet was pointing out for Dean Ambrose when he was Jon Moxley on the Indies. He cut a promo saying he wanted Dave Batista on the Indies. And in, you know, kind of a interesting twist of fate, Dean Ambrose ends up getting Dave Batista, you know, however many years later. So that was kind of funny because everybody was pointing that out. But yeah, this was great. The dive off the balcony was amazing, and it's like there's actually video of Seth Rollins from a crowd perspective where somebody captured him doing the dive off the railing, and it's like he doesn't even hesitate. He just jumps.
Well, that's what you gotta do. You just gotta go for it.
Yeah, but he didn't even check. Like, that's the thing. Like, he just got up on the railing and jumped. Like, didn't even bother, you know, it's like, are they in place? Okay, I can go. Nope, it's just like, here I come! Whee!
And you could see that when they came down. They turned right around and he was there.
Yeah, it's like, oh crap, there's a Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just ready to do it, so. Yeah, but this was so good. So incredible, and it's like, you feel bad for everybody that's got to follow it, because it was such a great match. You know, the stuff through the crowd was amazing. The stuff in the ring was great. You know, everybody was allowed to shine. I love how afterwards Roman came and found Seth and Dean and actually picked
Dina.
Seth and Dean up.
Yeah,
he had Dean on his shoulders.
He had Dean on, yeah, he did.
And he was ready to cart them both off if he had to get the hell out of there. But yeah, it was just like, this was so good.
Oh yeah. And this was the only match on the show that we got wrong, and if I listened to myself and not someone persuading me into picking Evolution, I would have went perfect for the night.
You know what? Honestly, I thought Evolution had a shot at winning. It's just something of, why not? Why not have Evolution win and the Shield chase? But you know what? We clearly saw Monday night. Hunter is a very sore loser. And, well, he's going to make the Shield pay.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Dean. He had to fight 20 guys Monday night. Poor Dean.
Poor Dean lost his title.
But, you know, I think he's going to go on to bigger and better things, so I think he's okay with that.
I think he's okay with that. And we should point out, Hunter mentioned on his interview with Michael Cole on WWE.com, reason why, Internet, he wasn't defending is because Hunter was looking out for him.
Sure. Anyway, moving on, John Cena did not have anybody out looking out for him when he took on Bray Wyatt in a steel cage match.
Let's go Wyatt Chance early.
Oh, yeah. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks early.
Cena, and see, the issue with this match, and I've thought about it for the last few days, where they went for the escapes early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything they did, and how everyone was complaining about how the match, you know, the escapes happened throughout the entire match. If they actually wrestled early and actually beat on each other for a while and then started some of the escape spots, this match would have been a lot better. But because Cena went to look for an escape early, when he's the one who wanted to lock Bray Wyatt in a cage, sort of took away from the match.
Yeah, it kind of hurt the story just a little bit because, like you said, Cena called for this match. He wanted Bray Wyatt in a cage. He wanted to isolate Bray Wyatt in the cage so he could stop Bray Wyatt's message from getting out and to keep Rowan and Harper out. And it's something of Cena goes for the escape in the first
three or four minutes.
Yeah, first 5 minutes of the match, and it's like you got Rowan and Harper right there stopping him.
Yeah,
and it's something of, it's like, and I didn't mind that, honestly, but it's something of, dude, come on, you can't leave in the first 5 minutes.
Like, if that happened, like, 10 minutes in,
that would have been fine.
Because then you would have had 10 minutes of them beating on one another. Cena tried to leave 2, 3, 4 minutes into the match. Wyatt family stared him down back into the cage. Like, you made the cage match, so stay in the cage. Bray holds Cena by the cage, and Eric Rowan ran into him like a house on fire, which was a very nice spot.
That looked like it hurt.
It looked like it did hurt. Cena tried again to escape, but Bray pulled him back in again. There was one point Bray did the spider crawl to escape the try to escape the cage, which was funny. There was one point where Bray danced with Cena again in the cage, which is always fun. Cena made its comeback. The fans boo. There was a sit-down powerbomb, a nice one by Cena onto Bray for a two count. The ref opens the door, but Rowan shuts the door. There was a spot where Cena was trying to overpower Eric Rowan. Tried to open the door, and Eric Rowan was holding it shut. And, well, Cena overpowered him and Harper.
Okay, I want to stop here, and I want to talk about that.
Go ahead.
I didn't like that.
I know.
I didn't like... And I get Cena is Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. And he's supposed to be strong. But when we've seen what Eric Rowan can do... And we know how strong Eric Rowan is. You should not have made Eric Rowan look weak like that. Because that's exactly what you did. You should have had, honestly, Eric Rowan hold that door shut. And Cena not be able to get out.
Right.
And, you know, even just to emphasize it, you have Luke Harper come up and help him. Like, even if Cena can get it open a little bit, fine. You have Luke Harper walk over and just shut the door and hold the door shut and keep Cena in. But you should not have had Cena overpower Eric Rowan because that just makes Rowan and Harper look weak.
Right.
You don't want that.
Right. If he overpowers, if he gets that burst and overpowers Eric, that's fine. But overpowering both... That wasn't the smartest of move.
Yeah, that was really kind of unrealistic, and it's like, come on. Really? I mean, really?
They made up for that spot where Cena has climbed over the cage wall, right? And then Eric Rowan climbs up the cage and puts Cena on his shoulders and climbs the cage wall and puts him back into the cage.
Yep, and boosts him back in.
That was fun.
That was a good spot. That was a great spot.
then where that's sort of where things happened. Harper was then brought into the cage by John Cena. Cena tried to escape after taking out Harper in the, and Bray in the cage. Rowan uses the chair to keep Cena into the cage. Bray Wyatt went for Abigail, but it went into the STF. Bray was able to get out of it. Then he hit an AA from the middle rope, but only led to a count as Harper, who was in the cage, made the save. And then things really got interesting. The lights went out. The Wyatt screech happened. Lights sort of spotlight on a little bit. And all you hear is a little child with a distorted voice going, "He's got the whole world in his hands."
Yeah. Alright, we're going to talk about a little bit more of the match before we get into the finish of the match.
Well, the finish then ended up after this. John Cena's scared. Oh my god, what happened? What happened? Turns around, Sister Abigail. Bray leaves.
With the kid in tow.
Bray Wyatt wins.
Bray Wyatt wins. Which, yay, Bray Wyatt wins. Okay. I didn't like how involved Harper and Rowan were. I didn't like how Harper got brought in the cage.
Again, if the match happened, got an extra 5 to 10 minutes of them fighting early, then all of them getting involved would have made more sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I was fine with Harper and Rowan stopping Cena from getting out, especially so early in the match. And it's like, even Eric slamming into the cage, that's fine. But it's like, they made Bray seem very weak, which I don't like. And they made it seem like he can't get it done on his own, and he does need Harper and Rowan, which we've seen Bray do it on his own. We know he can.
Right, and if they just it was more of they laid out this match differently, because some of the spots they did with involvement would have worked if they let Bray fight on his own first.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they really... There was a lot of psychology in this match, and they tried, but it was like... And they took some big bumps, and bravo to them for taking some big bumps, but they didn't... Because I've gone back and I've watched it a couple times. They didn't do a lot. It was mostly Cena and Bray trying to escape the cage and stop each other.
Yeah, it's sort of like whoever laid out the match with them, or as they were laying out the match, take all four of them together, you know, behind the midget.
Yeah, behind the midget.
The day of. They just sort of, you know, they went for the escapes instead of telling the story in the ring first. And that's the major problem. If you think, because that's the major problem with match. If they went for it, if they went for a fight early, like they did at Mania, and then had all the involvement, because if you think about Mania, they fought early, then the involvement came in.
Yeah. And that's really how it should be. And it's, to me, it was just like, it's like when Harper got brought in the cage, and it's like, I think it was honestly done when Cena overpowered Rowan. That's when I was really done, because I was like, come on. Really? Really? Like, I get Cena's supposed to be Superman and everything, but does he have to literally be Superman?
Right.
And that was kind of my problem, and then it's like when Luke got brought in, it's like, okay, no. No, 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 no. And I think, and I hope they're gonna obviously do a third match between these two. I want to see a third match where there is no involvement, which is probably what they're building to, and Bray just kicks Cena's ass.
Right.
That's what I want to see, because this was a good match. It was a little bit of a disappointment, just because I expected more of a fight between these two.
Right. Now, that being said, let's go to our question at night, because we just
No. We have to talk about the kid.
Okay, let's talk about the kid.
I know a lot of people weren't a fan of it. Honestly, when that happened, it's like when the Wyatt screech happened, it's like, they're all three out there. And it's like, then you hear thunder, and it's like, wait. Are they going to manifest Abigail or something? Like, what are they going to do? And then it's like, you hear the distorted voice start singing, and then it's like, the kid shows up. It's like, holy crap. Bray Wyatt has a possessed child. Holy crap.
Yeah, hey, man.
It's like, I know a lot of people didn't like it. I know some people thought it was really cheesy, and honestly, it was. The voice was a little much, but it was really clever.
Oh, it was. Oh, it was.
It's like, points for creativity on whoever came up with it. Because it was very clever. Nobody was expecting it to happen.
No, and there's more kid drama to come. But and we're going to get into the Wyatts here a little bit more. But I want to get into the question light really quick, because it's a simple question, because we've just seen both teams in action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you build around? Wyatt or the Shield?
You know, honestly, as much as I love Bray and as much as I love the Wyatt family, I would have to go with the Shield. If you're going to... I think they're great as a faction. I mean, as far as the Wyatts are concerned, but I don't know how they would do individually. And that's the thing. The Shield, they're an amazing faction, but they also, when they split off, they will be able to stand on their own.
Right. Go ahead.
That's the thing for me, is it's like... As a faction, you can build around the Wyatt family, but eventually they have to split off, and that's an unknown. Whereas Seth and Dean and Roman can all go off on their own, they can all do their own thing, and they will all be successful on some level. And that's what you want in building a company. plus you have Seth and Dean have the experience that they can work with younger talent, and Roman's somebody that you can put him in the ring and he can learn and grow and develop into a top-tier guy.
Right. A majority of people went with the Shield a couple long responses ago. The Shield, because each member could be a top star. I've always said that the WWE should rebuild their company, and the first three guys they would hire would be Roman, Seth, and Dean. Each are different, and you can build around them. One other person with a full comment goes, the Shield, three different looking guys who all have different strengths and type of fighting. They can speak on the mic and have proved that they can work either as face or heel. They can really sell a story and step up to the plate when needed. Just when you think they can't top themselves, they top themselves. The future, indeed.
Yeah, and also with something with this question is it's the Wyatts, like I said, there's a lot of unknowns with the Wyatts. They're not even coming at, they're just now starting to come out of the first year. They debuted in, I think, June or July of last year, so the Shield are now in their second year, and that's when the Shield have really started hitting their stride, is in that second year.
That being said, if I would have to take one person to build around, I would take Bray Wyatt.
Oh, if we're doing it individually, I would do Bray Wyatt. But as a group, I would take the Shield.
Right. But that's just a little, that was a little sidetrack for the question tonight, and we're going to get into why it's here just in a minute, because there's a little bit more of a segment to come, and it'll tie into things that's happened since then. But next, Divas titles on the line, Paige and Tamina.
This was a good match.
Could have used a little bit more time, but that's always said. Paige with the quick offense early on. Tamina showed off her power in this matchup. There was one point we get another spear out of the ring spot, this time by Paige onto Tamina, which was sick. And then
Paige got slammed into the wall.
Yeah, Paige got spun, like, she spun into a head scissors attempt, but Tamina countered and just smashed her right into the barricade. Like, ow!
Right?
Ow. Paige eventually got a little bit more control, hit a nice sunset flip powerbomb onto Tamina, which was nice. Tamina hit a swinging side slam, driving Paige into the mat. Only got a two count, but in the end, in impressive fashion, Paige hit this modified Scorpion crosslock for the victory to retain the title.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
That was a nice spot.
Because
it's like, is she going to go for it? Yep. She's going for it.
We were sitting here talking, and we were like, no, she's not going to do it. No, she's not going to do it. She did it.
And
we both went, holy crap, when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, the point was, we were sitting here talking because Lindsay wanted to talk about the Wyatt match, and we just were going back and forth on, we were talking about it. And we're sitting here talking, not realizing anything. And all of a sudden, we hear the Wyatt screech again. And Bray Wyatt starts cutting a promo. And basically, in the promo, he gave the kid the sheet mask. Kid put it on, his name is Lil Johnny, and told the world, follow the buzzards.
It was a great promo.
This one caught us off guard.
Yeah. Well, you're not expecting Bray Wyatt to cut a promo or do anything like that after he's won the match, and then it's like, they do a follow-up where basically Bray Wyatt, you know, basically says that he manifested John Cena's worst fear, which is that, you know, the children are leaving him, the fans are leaving him. He manifested in the fact that the fans are leaving John Cena behind, and they're following Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Which they are.
Now, this was not the end of Bray Wyatt, and we'll get to the main event of the show here in a few minutes. We want to take a little diversion on the Wyatts a little bit. And on the Extreme Rules Fallout, I want to let you talk about it, The Bray Wyatt press conference.
They had the Wyatt family do a press conference. It was amazing. Because we were sitting here and we were joking about it because we found out they were going to do the press conferences. It's like, oh yeah, you know, they're totally going to have the Wyatts do it. And we're like, no. No, they're not going to let them do it. The Wyatts don't do interviews. You know, they're not going to do the press conference. And I'm sitting here watching the post-show during WTR and it's like, oh my god, Bray Wyatt's doing a press conference. Holy crap.
Time to raise the volume up on TV.
Oh yeah, volume got raised, and it's like I'm sitting there listening to it, and basically, you know, Bray Wyatt turns the tables on the reporters, and he starts, you know, asking them, oh, I bet you went to college, and, you know, you have a fancy degree, and all this other stuff, and he's like, well, you know what, I'm a nobody, I came from nothing, and now tonight, finally, I'm somebody. And then they proceed to flip the table.
They being Luke and Bray.
Eric wanted to, but he couldn't get in there fast enough. Bray, you know, throws the mic off, throws the water bottles off, flips the table, and they leave. It was just, yeah. It was phenomenal. It's like Bray Wyatt does a press conference. Yes! Because he just completely flipped it around on the reporter, and he was just basically a dick. It's great.
And then Monday night came. And he cut a tremendous promo, as we talked about on our post-show with Monday night, 11:30 p.m. So right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Shameless.
I know, right? And then, since we've talked about that Monday, Tuesday night happened. And I'm going to let Lindsay talk about the promo John Cena cut.
Is it taking a big drink of water while he does that and throws it right to me? Basically, you had Bray cut the promo and proclaim his victory on Monday night, which was fantastic. And, you know, they said, well, John Cena's going to follow up Tuesday on Main Event because we're trying to sell a network subscription. So it's like, great. You know, because you're really actually very curious to hear what Cena has to say, especially since he's now 2 days removed from Extreme Rules, and he was really weirded out and creeped out by what happened with the Wyatt family.
Right.
With the kid. And so you have John Cena come out Tuesday night on Main Event, and he cuts his promo, and basically he doesn't address what happened at Extreme Rules at all. Doesn't address Bray's promo. Well, he does, but he takes it out of context. You know, as far as what Bray's mission is, what his mission statement is. And basically Cena says that, you know, well, you're all fools and you're falling for the wrong person and Bray Wyatt's a bad guy. And, you know, have you ever really listened to him? And then that's when they play the promo for Monday night, the end where Bray says that he wants to burn the world down and rebuild it in the image of Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Bray Wyatt has never hidden this fact.
No, it's been very clear since, you know, week two.
Yeah. So, you know, Cena's basically like, you know, if you don't believe in anything, then you'll fall for anything. But Cena's like, you know, I believe in this, and he points to his t-shirt. And he then takes out his towel, and he holds up this, and he's like, you know, I'm not a god, I'm a man.
I'm a man, I never give up. Hustle, loyalty, respect, yo.
And it was really kind of the same Cena jargon that we've heard in the past, that we always hear when Cena gets in one of these situations, that it's when he doesn't know how to react, he falls back on his shtick.
Right.
That's what he does. And he puts, you know, to use the euphemism of, he puts on his mask, he hides who he really is, and he, you know, toasts the company line. And the promo was a little bit lacking, and it was like, well, you're not going to talk about what happened? You're not going to talk about how Bray Wyatt had a possessed child?
How your fans are, you know,
turning against you?
How they're following the buzzard?
Well, basically his response to his fans, you know, turning on him and following the buzzards is, you know, well, Bray Wyatt's not who you think he is. You know, he doesn't represent, he's not a WWE guy. He's not doing this for the WWE. He's not doing this for you. He's doing this for himself.
Correct.
Which, again, Bray Wyatt has never hidden that fact.
Nope.
And it was just, it was a very typical Cena promo. There wasn't really any address. He wasn't really fired up. It was just something of, well, I gotta go out there and talk about it, so I'm gonna go out there and talk about it. And I know, you know, spoiler alert, he cuts a promo on Bray on SmackDown. I don't know what it consists of, but I'm curious to hear it. But it's just like, so the dude shows up with a possessed child. It's like, well, not even that. It's number one, you called for the cage match and you tried to run away in your first 5 minutes of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept trying to run away. And it ended up being the Wyatt family that kept you in the cage to force you to face Bray Wyatt. And then you come out Tuesday night towing the company line like you always do and not giving us any real insight.
Pretty much.
And I was having a conversation with somebody on Tumblr about this, where we were talking about it, and, you know, because she was very disappointed with the Cena promo, too, and it's like, it seems like when Cena doesn't understand what's going on, when he doesn't know how to react to something, he always falls back on either his jokes, or his slogans, or his catchphrases, or whatever. We saw that a couple weeks ago when Bray Wyatt brought out the choir. And Cena had no idea what to do. He had no idea how to even process that. Well, 2 hours later, when they tried to interview him again, he was Mr. Hustle, Loyalty, and Respect. He put that, as we would, you know, again, that mask back on.
Right.
And it's just kind of interesting because every time you see Cena do that, where he doesn't know how to respond to Bray, because it's very clear that Bray's promo game is a lot stronger than Cena's.
Without question.
Is that every time you see Cena try to respond or try to, you know, make Bray Wyatt look bad, Cena ends up just looking like a fraud.
Pretty much.
So it's just like, I'm curious to see, but I wanted to get that out there and kind of that reaction to it, because it's like, really? Really? It's like, you know, one, you tried to run away in the first 5 minutes, because it's like, you think, oh, you know, I'm just going to do one move on Bray Wyatt, and that's going to put him down, and I'm going to escape.
Right.
And it's like, no, dude, that's not how this works.
So it would be more interesting to see when the two of them are actually in the same vicinity of one another, and how Cena reacts.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see SmackDown and what they do on SmackDown, but yeah, it's just like, the promo on Main Event was really lacking. It was very stock standard, especially when you had Bray Wyatt do two very, very passionate promos back-to-back, Sunday and Monday.
You could tell Bray Wyatt believes in what he's saying, and does John Cena really believe what he's actually putting out there?
Right. Is it just a catchphrase at this point, or does John Cena actually believe in what he's putting out there? And I think that's the whole point of this.
Yep. So, again, curious to see where they go on SmackDown.
Yes. Now, we're going to divert back into Extreme Rules, because I wanted to talk about all that. And now we're going to divert back into Extreme Rules. We're talking about your main event of the evening, which was Daniel Bryan taking on Kane in an Extreme Rules match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
The WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Whatever.
Bryan came out first, Kane came out, they brawled on the ramp to start the match, brawled around the ring. There was one point Bryan got slammed with a chair onto the barricade that looked like it hurt. Bryan grabs the table's sign, and well, they're brawling around the ringside, and Bryan tries to grab the plastic thing on the table, but he actually grabbed the sign part of it. And whack Kane with it, and then realize, oh, I'm just hitting him with the paper.
Kane sold it, though.
Kane sold it like he got hit with something. And then he actually whacked him with the real thing. There was a nice tornado DDT spot from the top of the table when they were on top of the Spanish announce table where Ricardo was like, get away from my table, get away from my table.
Yeah, that was the theme throughout the night. Ricardo protected the Spanish announce table.
He's a protector of the table. There was a nice tornado DDT spot. And then we got more physical as we start fighting up the ramp. and that it where it became sort of whack a cane with a cane.
Mm-hmm.
Brian repeatedly, I would say at least 10 shots, if not more, with the Singapore cane high up on Kane. It looked like each shot hurt like all hell.
Oh yeah.
They brawled to the backstage area. Kane got a little bit of control, then grabbed the monitor, threw it in a bucket of water, and everyone went and then Daniel Bryan gets back to his feet and he grabs Triple H's shovel and nails Kane with it. Yes, he used a shovel. Bryan then got backdropped up onto a car, which hurt. Looked like it hurt. There's a spot where Bryan went to a backseat of the truck of another car, got out a crowbar and used it on Kane, knocking him out. And then it's like, oh, we're backstage, and it's not false count anywhere. So we were sitting here talking. I was like, it's not false count anywhere, is it? No. So how's he gonna get him to the ring? And then we look over and we see what everyone else saw, and that was a forklift. So Daniel Bryan puts Kane onto a forklift and brought him back into the arena on a forklift. I thought this was brilliant.
Oh, this was fantastic. It absolutely was.
So he brings him down, rolls him down into the arena, down to the ring. Lifts him up over the thing with the forklift, and tries dumping him into the ring, and he just wasn't bending far enough. So Kane just rolls up.
Yeah, he rolled off and he went splat in the ring, and you could tell he's just like, ow.
Yeah. Then Bryan climbs up the forklift and does a flying headbutt, free force away across the ring from off the forklift, which was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Kane eventually then sits up, chokeslam, 2 count. Bryan counters the tombstone into a DDT, which was not as fluid as it should have been. Then Bryan got a hold of a chair and just beat down Kane with the chair. Bryan hooks a yes lock on Kane. Kane uses Kane, but Bryan gets hold of Kane and uses Kane on Kane. Gets a lot of Kane. Kane finally gets out of the ring. Bryan dives through the ropes but gets caught. And he got caught right into a chokeslam through the American announce table.
Mm-hmm.
Ricardo was like, yay, my table's safe. Kane was not done.
No, Kane was not done.
He pulls out a regular table, lifts back up the ring, the apron of the ring, looks under the ring, and what does he see? Gasoline. He takes the gasoline, dumps it on the table, grabs some, lighter fluid, poof! It's on fire, y'all. We got a flaming table.
Yep.
At the Azad Center. And, well, things did not go as planned, as Kane was up on the apron, got knocked through the flaming table by Daniel Bryan. Ow. Men with fire extinguishers quickly put out the fire, and Kane, blinded by all this, rolls back into the ring, frozen stiff because it's cold, and ate a running high knee from Daniel Bryan. 1, 2, 3. Daniel Bryan retains the WWE World Heavyweight Championship in a fun match.
Oh, this was great.
Me and you sat here talking, and it was like, this is fun. He's not, we kept going, he's not going to do that, no. No. He did,
yeah. And you can't complain about this match, and you really kind of can't complain about the show, because this match, it's like, the theme throughout the night, again, was they went for it, and in this Extreme Rules match, they went for it. they were doing a lot of high-risk stuff. They fought all over the ring. They fought through the backstage. We had Kane be brought back on a forklift. We got a flaming table. They killed one of the announce tables. I mean, you know, you can't complain about this.
No, you really couldn't. This was a great match, great show overall. I love the show. This was a very fun show. Was it as good as WrestleMania for me? No. But I wasn't going, oh, this was a crap pay-per-view. This is turning me off the product. I want to cancel the network. This was really, really good. Like, really, really good.
They tried their hardest. For me, it was on the same level as WrestleMania, just because WrestleMania was very difficult for me.
After a certain point, she checked out.
Oh, Taker lost, and it was like I was done. Like, nothing made a dent for a day and a half after that.
No, it didn't.
I'm not ashamed of admitting that at all. I actually was in mourning. But
she was. I can vouch for this.
But, you know, this was a great show. Everybody did their best. The Cena Bray match was a little disappointing, but even then it was still a good match. And that's the thing that you can say, is even the weaker matches on the card were still good.
They all went out there and put on an entertaining 3-hour show.
Yeah, and really my only issues with some of the weaker matches was the way that they were mapped out. What they did in the match was fine, it was the way that it was planned out in some of them. But yeah, it's like the Shield and Evolution delivered. Kane and Daniel Bryan delivered. The Divas match delivered. I mean, you can't argue with that.
The worst match was the Rusev match, and we all expected it to be.
Pretty much, yeah.
Everything else lived up to my expectations. I was disappointed in the Cena match, and as I've explained, if they actually let him wrestle for 10 minutes and then did all their spots, it would have made more sense.
Yeah. But they went for it early, and they tried to do them throughout the match, because it's like they went on, like we said, they went for the escapes early, and then there was for a while they were going for pinfalls, and then they went back to going for escapes again. So, but yeah, it's like this show, this pay-per-view was really well done. It was booked out very nicely.
It was paced very well.
Yeah. They did a good job with it, and I'm looking forward to Payback, because we're going to get a lot of return matches from Payback, which... from Extreme Rules into Payback, which I have no problem with.
No, and especially because they'll be different in their own way, which will be good.
Yeah, so definitely looking forward to it. But yeah, overall, what would you grade Extreme Rules?
B+, A-.
I give it a solid B+. Pun intended.
Because the B+ player was in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good. It was a good show. Go out and buy the network. Watch it. It's worth $10. Again, it's not $60 anymore. It's $10 a month. You get an awesome event like that. Money well spent.
Oh, completely. 100% money well spent. So. Congratulations to WWE on a fantastic show. Like I said, I'm thoroughly looking forward to Payback in the coming weeks. But on that note, I say we wrap things up for the evening.
Sounds good to me, which means I talk.
Yeah, you have to chill now.
The Rack Extra drops tomorrow afternoon. We'll recap Season 2, Episode 7 of Total Divas, which features, well... Nikki and Brie discussing wedding stuff. Trinity, well, or Naomi, rather, and her decision she made, and we're very controversial about that. We have some strong opinions about it. And Summer and Fandango have a blind date. Not an actual blind date where they were set up together, but if you remember the TV show Blind Date, that's what they have. Even with the colors of the the walls. So check it out, the Rock Extra, streaming tomorrow afternoon on Rock Radio Show, wildtalkradio.com. No CB Radio on Saturday because, well, I'm not going to be around, so, which means no cards either. But you can follow CB Radio on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com, Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. We'll be back next Saturday night for that show, and I've already put stuff together for it, so it's going to be fun. Sunday, it is WTR Sunday night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. Weekend Pro Wrestling, I would assume. It's on them. Check the show out on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. We'll be back on Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack and Facebook.com/WTR_Rack. Check out RockRadioShow.com. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out GoNHLGo.com. Sign up for the forums because, well, the Canadian wants you to talk hockey, eh?
Don't you know, eh?
So what's...
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup. Canadian bacon. Tell us where you won't find Canadian bacon.
Well, you may or may not find Canadian bacon on my Twitter, which is at Linsward, LANSWARD. Probably won't find it on my website either, which is psychwardesigns.com. If you click on the Contact Us section of that website, there's a link. It will take you to my Redbubble store. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to buy my artwork, it is available for sale at Redbubble.com. Just click the link. It will take you there, and you can buy t-shirts, pillows, posters, whatever you want. It's all there, including the new piece, which is Obey the Buzzards, a, you know, kind of throwback to the 40s, 50s communist propaganda poster featuring the Wyatts. Yes, it's a Wyatt piece. Deal with it.
It is, I'm going to say this right now. It is fantastic. So,
well, thank you.
It is awesome. And go ahead.
And as I say, if you'd just like to view it, you can go to behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. It is available there for your viewing pleasure, and the link to the Redbubble store is also in the posting. So, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say it's fantastic, and it's Canadian bacon-free.
Yes, everything is Canadian bacon-free, except WTR, because we have a Canadian, and he's kind of a ham.
He really, really is.
Love you, Tim! Anyway, don't forget to also check out our fine sponsors, TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, PWMania.com for all your news needs, and of course, check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211, yes, that's right, the one, the only Matt Goldberg. He does stop motion, he does documentaries, they're all awesome. Google him, check him out, go to his YouTube channel, because they're pretty epic. But speaking of pretty epic, I'm kind of epically tired, so we're going to go ahead and wrap the show for the evening. So, until next week, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you later. Bye!